Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to take just a few minutes to speak on a subject that I'm going to call Well Done Christians. Well Done Christians. I don't mean that we're baked or we're boiled or anything like that, but what the scripture says, it does refer to Christians as well done. Let's look at it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your blessings to us in so many ways. And we thank you, Lord, that we as Christians can serve you, and hopefully when we see you, we will hear those words, well done. I pray that we will be, in that sense, well done Christians. But Lord, help us to realize there are things we can do in our life that would cause you to say to us that we have done well. So bless these thoughts from the scripture today, and I pray that you would use them to encourage us to live our lives in a way that be pleasing to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a well-done Christian? We get that terminology from the passage that we've read today, verse 14. Paul said that the Philippians were well done. They had well done. Their actions were commendable. You remember in the gospel accounts, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told a parable about some people who were servants, and the master had gone on a journey, and he left them with certain talents that they were to use for him. One of them had 5 talents, another had 2 talents, and then one of them had 1 talent. The 5-talent guy invested his talents, and he had 5 more talents. So he had his original 5, and he gained 5. The other one, who had 2 talents, invested his talents, and he gained 2 more talents. And then the one had 1 talent, and rather than invest it and use it for his master, he hid it. And the Bible says he hid it. And when the master came back and they gave an account, the 5-talent man said, Lord, I have traded and I have invested it, and I've gained 5 talents. And the Lord said unto him, his master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The other one had 2 talents. He had invested it, and he had gained 2 talents. The Lord said the same thing to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But one of them that had just 1 talent and had hidden his talent, he brought that before the Lord and said, Lord, I've saved this, and I didn't want to lose it or anything, but I didn't invest it, I didn't do anything with it. And the Lord said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. From the parable, we learned that a well-done Christian, somebody who hears the Lord say, well done, is a faithful steward, a faithful servant of his Lord. In Philippians, the passage we've read today, we have find those words done again. And he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. I'd like for us to take this passage and look at some things he says about, in this context, about the well-done Christian. First of all, the well-done Christian is a giving Christian. If you're going to hear well done from the Lord, you'll be a giving Christian. Notice what it says about it in verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For ye, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So these people were giving Christians. You can't be a well-done Christian unless you're a giving Christian. They shared with Paul what they had. The word communicate means they shared with him. Paul was in need, and they shared what they had to help meet his need. And so they were communicating Christians, sharing Christians. They gave more than once to him. Verse 16 says, "And even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." As a church, we give to missions. And we give to our missionaries monthly. And so we would qualify here. We communicate with them. We share with them. There's no way that we can support a missionary fully. I mean, thousands of dollars a month it takes. And we can't do that as a church. But we can help. And that's how missionaries gain their support, is they go to churches and get churches to help them. And so one church gives a little bit, another gives a little bit, somebody gives some more. And right now our church supports several missionaries, but we do only a small portion, but all those small portions put together help support that missionary. And we do it over and over again, month after month after month. Well, these people did it for Paul. They communicated to him once and again. They were the only church that had helped Paul at the beginning when he departed from Macedonia. Verse 15 says, "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving." Those terms, giving and receiving, are business terms. In other words, they set up an account with Paul, you might say. "We agree that we're going to give to you." And so they gave and Paul received. And so it was a business transaction, you might say. They agreed to do this, and they did it. That's what we do as a church. We agree that we're going to help certain missionaries on the field, and so monthly we do that. We give, and they receive. Now, when we do that, we're going to receive blessings from it, of course. We should be Christians who have a hand like they had, and that is the Lord gave them something, and then they gave it out to Paul. Christians should be that kind of Christians. Christians, I've said many times, we should be open-handed Christians. Some Christians are closed-handed Christians. God gives it, and they grab hold of it, and they won't let go. You know, that's mine. The Lord says, no, you don't have anything that you did not receive. So I give it to you in your open hand. And then we have it with our open hand, we receive it from the Lord, and when God wants us to share it with somebody else, we don't have to pry our fingers loose. We just let the Lord have it. We give, we share when God impresses our hearts. The Dead Sea is a good example of Christians who will not give. I've been to the Dead Sea. My wife and I have been there twice, and I was explaining to the kids in Bible camp, the Dead Sea is 10 times saltier than any ocean. It's very salty. And one reason it is so salty is because it never disperses. It only recedes. And that is, the water from the Jordan River comes down and it recedes, but there's no stream going out of the Dead Sea. So it has become trapped there and it's dead. And the things don't live in the Dead Sea. You don't fish in the Dead Sea. But it's a Dead Sea. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord's going to, during the millennial reign, the Lord's going to heal that sea. And there's going to be a stream coming down from Jerusalem, and it'll flow down into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea will be healed, and there'll be people fishing on the banks of the Dead Sea. And the Lord's going to do that during the millennial reign of Christ. But some Christians are Dead Sea Christians. They receive, they receive, they receive, but they never give. The Lord says a well-done Christian is a Christian who gives. Notice also in this passage that a well-done Christian is a fruitful Christian. Verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Fruitful Christians. Their giving to Paul helped produce fruit. They gave to him. He worked on the field where he was, regardless what church it might have been, which land he was in. They were giving to him, and because they gave to him, his work produced fruit. And the Lord says that they were recipients of that fruit. the fruit would be a part on would be put on their account. Notice what it says again, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So a well-done Christian is a giving Christian. A well-done Christian is a fruitful Christian. Now, all of us have fruit in our life. The fruit might be the fruit of love, joy, peace, things because we serve the Lord and we live the Lord. We experience those good fruits. Fruits can also be if we lead people to Jesus and we share the gospel with them and they come to know the Lord. That's fruit to our account. But we also get fruit that we never see, and that is our missionaries. Missionaries go to all these countries and they take the gospel, and the Lord keeps account of all that. He knows that you gave, maybe you give $50 a month, $100 a month, $150, $200, whatever it might be, to missions. The Lord knows all that. I don't know what you give, but the Lord does. And the Lord keeps account of that. And the Lord knows that because of your giving, some person in maybe in Africa or in Brazil or somewhere like that, some person came to know Jesus as their Savior. And God knows that what you gave helped that missionary be there, help that missionary have that meal that day so he could go out and present the gospel. And God keeps track of that. We don't need to keep track. The Lord does. And he says it will be fruit to your account. So when you give to the Lord uses that money, and then fruit is produced, and you don't know it. You've never seen it. You maybe never heard about it, but God knows about it. And God says there's fruit to your account. So a well-done Christian is a fruitful Christian. Also, a well-done Christian pleases God. Look at verse 18. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice what he says their gift was, and that is their gift was pleasing to God. He says it was an odor of a sweet smell. In the sacrifices in Old Testament times, sometimes a sacrifice was called a sweet-smelling savor. And that is the person did what God wanted them to do, and the sacrifice was burnt on the altar, and the smell of it came up. And not only did they smell it, but God says in heaven, he smelled it. In other words, it was pleasing to him. An odor of a sweet smell. Sometimes we do that. We do a kind deed. We treat somebody correctly, right, and we're gracious to them. The Lord says, I saw that, I smelled that, and that was a sweet smell to him. And then he says it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, acceptable. God says you serve him, you do what he wants you to do. It might be a sacrificial thing that you do, but the Lord says that is something that is a sacrifice that I accept. I accept it. And the Lord approves of that. And then he says it's well-pleasing to God. So a well-done Christian is a Christian that pleases God. In the terminology of sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice acceptable, and well-pleasing to God. And so well-done Christians please God. How do you please God? There's a simple way to describe it. You just do what he tells you to do. And you reject the things he tells you not to do. You do what God wants you to do, and that's pleasing to God. So you can please God if you're standing in a pulpit preaching. You can please God if you're playing the piano or singing a special or teaching Sunday school or whatever it might be. You can please God sitting at home, and maybe you're not able to do much else, but you are confined at home, and you pray. And you maybe can't even come to church, but you pray for the pastor as he preaches that morning, or you pray for someone else you know is in the pulpit, or pray for a Christian who's doing something, or a missionary, and you're doing what you can do. God never asks you to do what you can't do, but he does ask us to do what we can do. And when we do that to the Lord, for the Lord, it pleases him. So a well-done Christian pleases God. And then finally, something else in verse 19. A well-done Christian is a supplied Christian. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall provide all your needs. Shall is a promise. God says, I'll do it. Now, sometimes Christians use this like a blank check. And they'll say, I don't have to worry about anything. And we don't, by the way. We shouldn't worry. But they say, I don't have to worry about anything. God will supply all my needs. And they act as if that's something God tells He'll do to anybody, for any Christian. God doesn't say that. God says, I'll supply all your need, but there's things that came before that. And that is, God, this is a promise from God that He'll supply all the needs of the Christians who obey Him, who serve Him, who please Him. My God shall supply all your need. And then He says, according to His riches in Christ Jesus. If I told you that I would supply all your need according to my riches, you would have something to worry about. In fact, most of us, true. Now, there might be somebody here that could supply one person's need in this congregation besides their own, maybe two, but to say we'll supply all your need based on our riches, we couldn't do that. But when God says, I'll supply all your need according to my riches, well, there's no limit to that. And in accordance with His riches, He'll supply our need, all of our needs. The thing about God supplying our riches, our needs according to His riches, it never takes away from His riches. Because it's all His, and He just uses it for us, for our good. But He never lacks. He always has all sufficiency. And so the Lord will supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul had an empty cup, and the Philippians helped fill that cup. And Paul needed the Lord every day, and the Lord always filled that need. So whatever your need is, if you trust Jesus and you serve Him, the Lord will provide all of your needs. I love that story, and I've told it, I think, different times, of the missionaries on the foreign field that had this sickness. And I like it because it just shows how God knows everything that's going on. And the sickness was so that it was intestinal sickness. And this missionary was a lady. And right when she had this sickness, also her support stopped. And there were no checks. There was nothing in the mail that happened. She never got a check. And she couldn't understand why that was. So she had to go on a restricted diet. And all that she could afford was oatmeal. She couldn't afford that. People had it to give to her, so she ate oatmeal. And every day she ate oatmeal over and over and over again. And then she got well, and then the checks started coming back in. She didn't understand it, so she was home one day on furlough, and she was reporting to her churches, and she told the people, she said, I don't understand it, but I got sick while I was on the field, and this happened to me, and then the support dried up, and all I had to eat was oatmeal. And then I got well, and the checks started coming back. She said, I don't understand that, but I know God works all things together for good, and maybe He'll let me know someday. In the service that day, there was a doctor who came up and talked to the lady and says, ma'am, explain to me your symptoms again. So she explained them, and he smiled, and he said, ma'am, what you do as a doctor for those symptoms is you put a person on a diet of oatmeal. It's exactly what you needed. And so God stopped the checks coming so you would have to eat oatmeal. You see, God knows all those things. And God says, I'll supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. But I want you to notice the order here. The order is, a well-done Christian gives, a well-done Christian bears fruit, a well-done Christian pleases God, and then God says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Now, what we do sometimes, we get the order backward, don't we? We say, Lord, I will serve you if. If you'll supply my needs, I'll serve you. The Lord says, no, that's not the way it is. The Lord says, you give, you be fruitful, and you be the one that pleases me, and then I promise you, I'll supply. So, give, serve the Lord, sacrifice for Him, bear fruit, please Him, do what He wants you to do, and then He'll supply all your needs. It all boils down to this, as Matthew 25 says in that parable. And there were these people who had talents given to them. And the Lord says, well done to those who were good and faithful servants. You want to be a faithful, you want to be a well-done Christian, and the way to be a well-done Christian is to be good and faithful, a good and faithful servant, and the Lord will call you well done. And He will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May God help us to be well-done Christians. I'm not asking you to be hard-boiled. I'm just saying God wants us to be those He can call well done. Let's pray. Father, thank You for reminding us of these truths. Help us, Lord, as we go into our business session tonight. And may Your will be done in all that's done in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.